Hi, Christian and Pascal. Let me just unmute the both of you. Hi, Christian.
Hi, Femke. Hi, Pascal again.
Again.
Hi. I think Holly won't be joining us. I know she had to go to the hospital this morning. I'm not sure about Miral. There's Raquel. So we'll wait for her mic to come on. I haven't heard back from Miral at all, but hopefully she'll be joining us as well. Hi, Raquel. You muted yourself, but welcome to the call, Raquel.
Hi, everybody.
Pascal and Christian were just on another call with me, and they did a coaching session. So they've already been working together today. So let's start with I didn't get any requests for what to work on today. So Christian, how are you doing? Where are you at? Do you have
Well,
any questions?
yes, I have a question. I have a question about, in your opinion, what is the best way to use all the resources of the site? And because we do coaching sessions, we do benchmarking, and how would you use all the rest and the coaching for the best results?
I'm not sure how, like how, can you repeat the question?
Yes, we have a lot of resources on the site and on the CAS program. And I was asking myself, because I'm using them the best I can, but what do you believe could be an optimate way to use all the resources?
Ah, that's a good question.
Last question, I know.
Yeah. The first thing that pops into my mind is simplicity. And to start with that, I think, if you start with really the basics of understanding the present state and the desired state, and making that distinction, really clear distinction between, like, am I asking down and out questions and why, or am I asking in and up questions and why? And knowing that distinction, when you're getting the present state and the desired state, that is, for me, that's what's going to make the biggest difference. And then I would, for me, it's just a building from there. Once you've got that, then you can take that to the next level and you can start to look at what is the gap and doing some analysis and identifying patterns and things like that. And beyond that, you can start playing with the state induction of towards and away from and going through the axis of change. So even if you just get the present state and the desired state, if you nail that already makes such a huge difference for your client because they know the difference and that awareness is so critical. But I think I would start, just stick with those basics. Does that answer your question at all, or?
Yes. So it's just like stacking things one on another. The basics, then you stack all the things until the axis of change and so on. Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
Depending on the kind of conversation that you have.
Right, exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. Yeah, that's the most powerful part of because first of all, like, you know, if you think about really what it comes down to, the essence of what coaching is about, it's about helping someone get from A to B. Well, like, you can be great at, you know, inducing states or the axis of change. But if you can't help your client get awareness of what needs to change, none of those skills are going to matter very much. So that's where, you know, like, that's why I really focus on get the present state, get the desired state. You know, start with those first 7 questions of the well-formed outcome funnel, which is part of getting the present and desired state, and then take it from there. And once you know how to do that, it's going to be so much easier to do your coaching sessions and to get solid results.
Okay. So. And the second question I have is, how do you know that you are specific enough? I'm always worrying of, am I specific enough in the situation that is described?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. And
sometimes I miss the point.
Yeah. So, how do you know you're specific enough? For me, the most important part of that is, are you able to test the change at the end of the coaching session? Because if you can't put it into a specific situation where you can, where your client can do the tasking and start practicing, then it is not specific enough.
Okay, so it's the testing at the end. Okay.
Yeah, so you want to have like some specific examples. And another test that I have for am I specific enough is, can I step into my client's world, into their matrix, and replicate, okay, this is what they see, this is then what they say to themselves and the beliefs that hold the, them in place that puts them into this state. Can I replicate that state? Can I replicate the feeling based on the information that they're giving me? And if I haven't heard a belief yet or a image, seen an image yet that will put me into that state, then I still need more information, because then I know that I'm still missing some clarity around that. So that's one thing also. I want to be able to see that. Like, I always talk about the template, present state, desired state, and I want to be able to step into that and replicate what my client is seeing, feeling, hearing, doing. And it needs to make sense, because we talk about psychologics, and what our client is doing is psychological. And because I'm coming from a know-nothing state, I need to, like, if I step in and I can't, and it still doesn't make sense to me, then I still don't have enough information.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Okay, so Pascal, do you have any questions or things that you want to work on today?
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, sorry. No, I don't have any questions.
Okay. Any topics that you would like to address today?
Not that I could think of. I know that I wanted to listen to the last session that we just did.
Okay, yeah.
But what I did, and also your feedback and what Christian said again, so I want to do that. But okay. I don't have any questions. I think what I basically need is practice, continually practice.
Yeah. Okay, thanks, Pascal. Raquel, how are you?
Hi, I'm okay. Thank you. I think that it's about what you were talking about clarity.
Mm-hmm.
And Christian asked about how is it enough? How do I know that I did this? And actually, if I ask the client about what they are the sensor based question, I don't know if I still get it. What is the clarity question? Because clarity question, what I learned about it's that you ask it about how it's the word, it's for the person.
Yeah.
But I don't know how to ground it. Even if I ask it about the hear, feeling, and seeing, I don't know if it's enough.
Okay. Yeah.
Because what I can feel is that the client is starting talking about other stuff,
mm-hmm.
and then I think that it's what should I ask it about the clarity questions, and what should we talk about?
Yeah, I think Raquel, like, because I still have to send you your document, but one thing that I noticed yesterday when I asked you questions about what is it that you see or hear or feel, is that you didn't answer that question for me. You know, like, you didn't talk in visuals or what you were saying to yourself and how you were saying that. And I think that makes it, for a lot of coaches, I think that makes a big difference. And that was, for me, where I was really stuck for a very, very long time in my coaching sessions, is that I wasn't grounded when I was being coached, because I wasn't detail-oriented enough. And so I was not getting it at all. Like, what are they talking about? And so I think part of learning how to ask those questions and knowing when you have enough is when you really focus on your own representations. And you can start seeing those and grounding those. That's I think, a really good exercise. And the way that you can do that is by really describing the primary senses. And what I mean by that is, if you think about the metastating troubling concepts pattern.
Okay.
You start out with, there is some external trigger or an internal representation. What is it that my client is seeing? And then what are the submodalities of that? So how do you, like, if your client says, well, I hear my husband screaming. Like, screaming is not, it's a label. So how loud is it? You know, let me hear how loud it is. And how does he show that to me? So getting your client to actually use their body to physically show you what they would be saying, doing, or what they would be, how their gestures would be, or how their posture would be, what their voice would sound like. That already makes a big difference. That's when you start to get more of the details. If they talk about a picture, what are the where is that picture specifically? How is it, close by? Is it far away? How, if it's close, how close is it? And how big is that picture? Is it, are they in the picture or not? You know, so you start to get information. Like, this is basically what I want to do, is like, if I see their movie, if I see what they are seeing, what do I need to see? And then what questions do I need to ask to be able to see that? But if I delete that for myself, I'm never going to be able to ask that of my client. So for myself, I don't even focus on the details of my representations. It's going to be really hard to ask that of my client because I'm not internally creating that. Make sense?
Yeah, okay.
So,
yeah.
So those are the see, hear, feel, like the VAK questions. Then when you talk about clarity questions, like, do I have enough information? And a lot of the time, that's the start of getting a strategy process. If someone uses love, well, like love, who are you loving? You know, if you turn it into loving, how do you do loving? Who are you loving? And how would you do that? Well, like, is that, you know, what state are you in? What is the sound of loving? You know, so then you start to get an idea of, okay, this is how you talk about love.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. So, yeah. We can work on that a little bit if you want to practice that today, Raquel, is to just focus on, have a conversation and just focus on understanding some of the words, and then we can see, okay, do we have enough information right now? Would you like to practice that?
Yeah.
Okay, perfect.
Yes.
Yeah, so we can all get in on that. And so one of us can be interviewed, and then two can ask the clarity questions. So let's see. So who would like to be interviewed today?
I can be interviewed. I haven't been interviewed for a while.
Okay, perfect. Great. Then Christian and Raquel, you guys can practice the just focus on clarity questions. And if you can, you know, talk about the present state and desired state. And focus on, okay, what is it that you need to be clear on? And then I will interrupt you from time to time and see how are we doing and what is still unclear. How does that sound?
Okay.
That's great.
Okay, perfect. So, Pascal, what is it that you would like to talk about? Let's say we're doing a coaching session. What would you like to get out of a coaching session?
I always like to get more clarity. I'd like to get more clarity about writing. I started writing almost a year ago, but I haven't picked a piece of the writing I was going doing because I'm trying to decide what I want to write. And it's either a book on modeling, just a how-to or a description of the different types of modeling, mm-hmm. how to go about doing it using neurosemantics and NLP and other things. Or, and this is a recent thought, a memoir about my experiences in learning science and modeling and NLP. So it's between a memoir and more descriptive books about how to do something or more detailed about how to do something. There's something in between. And then I even thought about a novel. So I'm going to start doing something in August when I come back from a conference every day.
Okay.
And I'm trying to decide what the best thing to do is, and I'm trying to figure out what the difference between a memoir and a more descriptive thing. So I've been thinking about it. So I'd like more clarity on that. That's
okay.
Sense.
Okay. So Raquel, what, like hearing Pascal talk? Well, first of all, what do you hear that he wants out of the coaching?
Sorry, I couldn't. It wasn't good, and I couldn't hear. I just understand that he wants to write, but I couldn't understand the rest of the what he was talking about.
Okay. So, in short, could you repeat yourself?
Yes. There are different types. I want to write a book. There are different types of books to write. One is a book like Michael Holt writes about coaching or how to do things, metaprograms, this type of book like that. The other side of the book is more personal about my life and how my thinking evolves and more about my personal experiences about things as opposed to just a how-to book or a descriptive book. It's more personal. So the memoir is about me as a person and how my thinking evolved. And the other is more about read this and you can learn how to do something. And between those two, I'm wondering. I started out with the book about describing something, how to do something, how to model, and then I thought about writing creative nonfiction. But then I went to thinking about writing about what I thought stories, experiences. So that's between the two poles. One pole was a book, like a coaching book or a modeling book. The other one is about me doing the coaching or modeling.
What I'm hearing you say is that right now you don't have clarity around that.
I'd like more clarity, yes. I'm tending toward one side, but I'm not there yet.
Okay.
It's about a decision. I want to start in August, which is Tuesday.
Okay.
And I prepare to write every day, and I want to put out something definite. This is my clear direction. When you have a clear direction, it's easier to write.
Right. Okay.
Right.
Right, exactly. So, Raquel?
Yeah. What I heard you saying that you want to write starting on August, but there is two types of book that you are in doubt of that. One is the type of Michael Hall writes about coaching, about some describing something. Mm-hmm. And another is a personal book that it's about your life, experience mm-hmm. that you have. Mm-hmm. And how is the way the how do you think about? And you are preparing to write every day, but you have no direction to do that, right?
I'm trying to decide which type of book to start.
Okay. So when you think about writing and kind of book that Michael Hall writes, what does it mean to you?
Well, it actually helped him write a book on coaching. So it means that there's less of me in the book and more about the world, about some ways of thinking or being in order to achieve something. That's what I think about when I write a book about lab. For example, how do you teach someone to model something? What might they need to know? That book would be about that. It would be about what their state of mind would be, what activities they would do, what metaprograms they might have. It would be more descriptive about this is the means in order to do X. That would be one about the Michael Hall type of book.
You are saying to me that it's Michael Hall, like Michael Hall's book, it's would be a more descriptive book.
Yes.
And when you think that, what can you, when you are doing that, for example, what can you see when you are writing can you see writing a book as a descriptive? What can you see then?
I'm just going to stop you right there, Raquel.
Yeah.
In terms of what you've heard would be the coaching outcome. What would be the coaching outcome?
The coach outcome is decide which kind of book he wants to write.
Okay. And he spoke about not being clear right now.
Yes. Yeah.
So then what is the problem state?
I don't know.
So the problem state is that he hasn't made a decision and he's not clear.
Yeah.
And the desired state is what?
It's to decide which book he wants to write and start in August.
Okay. So do you know what he is clear on, what he's not clear on, what he means with making a decision?
Okay, yeah.
So because otherwise you go into the content, which maybe later that might be interesting, but right now what you want to focus on is the problem state and desired state. Right?
Yes.
So go there.
Yeah, great. So Christian, what do you mean about making a decision when you are talking about writing and this kind of books in August starting?
Actually, it's Pascal.
Pascal, sorry.
That's okay. What decision is about? The desired state is to be fully focused on writing one of those types of books. To be fully engaged in writing one of those types of books.
Fully engaged and write the both? Is that you are saying to me?
Just one of.
One of them.
Yeah, it occurred to me that I don't have this, as we were speaking, that I do like to write both of them. It's which one to write first. And that, as you and Femke were talking, that so the question is to choose which one to write first.
Okay, and do you have the answer for this question?
That's a very good question. I'm thinking more about the memoir first, but I'm wondering if the memoir is about my life, about how I go about thinking about things, or have thought about things.
Yeah.
Only because I want to tell more stories. And I think telling stories makes things more interesting. And I think that if I'm able to write and tell stories, then when I eventually write the other book, it'll be a better book. So that's what I can think of now.
So you are saying to me that it's making a decision to you, it's to be full focus and engaged when you were writing. And about the starting, you... would you like to start about telling a story about your life because it's more interesting, and then when you get to the other one, you will be easier to do it. To do that, is that right?
That's what I'm telling myself now as we speak. I don't think I'm totally convinced about that yet, but that's what I'm telling myself. That's I'm sort of trying that on as to see how it fits.
Okay. And when you say that making a decision is being a full focus and engaged, what's that about to you?
What is that about?
Yeah.
That's about spending several hours a day writing and thinking about how I would start writing. And what would be in it. And as I think about it, the other book, the contents of the other book would creep into it. I guess it's about the focus of the book. I'm trying to think of how I can make a book do both, be a memoir and more descriptive. So I guess that I don't want to give one up over the other, so I'm trying to merge them in my mind. How would I create something that was both? Part memoir, part descriptiveness, without being, you know, because I think it would be more interesting. So I'm not giving up that thought yet about not just doing either or, but maybe combining them in some way.
Franco, help me.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
The call for me, it's not so great, so sometimes I'm not hearing the exactly words that you are saying, sorry. And I really got lost here. For me, I should ask about focus right now, but it's if he has a permission to make this decision to start doing that, but mm-hmm. I don't think that it's the right thing to do.
Do you think he's?
I think that it's
right
too fast.
Let me ask you.
Yeah, because he.
Let me ask you this, Raquel. What is Pascal doing right now with the questions that he's asking himself?
Yeah, about the content of the book. Mm-hmm. It was what I heard. And how to do that and how to start. And about the focus on the of the book.
Yeah, so right now, does it sound to you in the way that he's talking that he has made a decision so that he can focus?
No, it not sounds to me that he has made a decision.
Right. It sounds to me like what he's doing in front of you is, I'm not sure if I would call it a problem, but it tells you about where he is in the process. So he's asking himself questions. Can I merge? Can I merge the two topics? How would I do that? And it sounds like that he started saying that initially he's unclear. So is that part of being unclear and not being convinced and not having made a decision?
Yeah.
So if we ask that, like Pascal, when you hear mm-hmm. me say that, what comes up for you?
Well, it's true. Mm-hmm. I can see I'm talking to myself. I'm going back and forth between discussing A or B or some combination. And
right.
And so that's the illustration of what's going on in my mind, you know, what I think about.
Exactly.
That I'm trying to clarify to decide what path to take.
Mm-hmm.
Based on, and I'm still thinking about it, and I haven't, it's almost like giving up. I initially was focused on one thing, and then I'm moving over, then I'm thinking of possibly another, and I can't, I haven't been able to decide what to do yet.
Yeah, exactly. So, Raquel, this is really critical, because a lot of the times, you're going to be asking process questions, and your client is going to do exactly what they are talking about is their quote unquote problem, or that let's talk about it as a present state. So the present state is unclear, not being convinced, and therefore not having made a decision.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm hearing him say all these do all these questions, and as I'm hearing that. You know, and then checking it, I can feed that back. So what I notice that you're doing right now is that you go from, oh, I could do this, or I could merge the two books, and because I want to do them together, but then you have questions about that. So is that how you are, how you are now unclear.
Yes.
So then I have, because he's doing it right in front of me, I've got an example. I've got like, I can, and as I can feed that back, we've got the present state. So this is being unclear and undecided. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So what, do you have questions about that or?
Yeah, it's unclear and not being convinced about what he wants.
Mm-hmm.
And so how to ground it? Because he's not convinced. Okay, should, for example, asking about how is imagine if he's doing that, how would be or not? You are doing the because he's not clear and convinced and about what's the focus of the book of about being engaged, what he should do.
Right. So you asked about how do you ground it?
Yeah.
So the grounding is when you are thinking of writing a book and making a decision, these are, you now know the kinds of thoughts that he has. Right? That's the beginning.
Yeah.
That's the beginning. So I'm curious, Pascal, when you ask all of these questions of yourself, what state does that put you in?
I'm confused.
Confused? Okay. Mm-hmm. And
confused.
Yeah. So
that was the first thing that came to mind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So then, Raquel, I have the state. If you think about it, a present state and a desired state has a trigger. It has a state, it has behavior. So part of the behavior here is the asking of the questions. And that is held in place by beliefs and values. So I'm hearing a couple of things and that Pascal is saying are important to him. And so right now he is confused and he wants to be what? What does he want to be?
He wants to be full focus and engaged.
Okay.
In his decision to write the book.
Okay. And so right now we know that he is doing things in a specific way. He's thinking in a specific way. And he is not the way that he, so the way that he's doing it right now is not helping him get to a decision. Is that correct, Pascal?
Yes. At least today.
At least, yeah. So then, and is that something of a pattern for you, Pascal, with other decisions?
No, not at all. Not the other decisions. No. Hmm. But I do decide sometimes instantly to do something.
Okay,
like take up coaching, for example. There's no decision. I mean, no weighing of alternatives or anything. It was just jumping in.
Right.
I also decided to work on a project that I'm giving a workshop on next week. There was not really much deciding either. So, I mean, there are many things I just jump in.
Okay.
I think this is closer to more about my life, what I've done or am doing, than other things. And the other things are, you know, examples of what I do. This is more about what I do. So maybe it's more important to me.
Okay.
So I think as I'm talking, I think it's more about the significance of this. I think, ask myself, if I don't write a certain type of book, am I giving up something and will never get to it? Or can I give it up and just put it aside and never write it? So I'm thinking of those things too, as we're talking, whether something is holding me into something that I may not want to do.
Right. Yeah.
So it's not a pattern overall, I don't think.
Okay. Because I noticed that you did this also with choosing what direction to go in for your, like, further, what I call it, career. Mm-hmm. Whether you were going to focus on modeling or, and that you wanted to integrate things.
Mm-hmm. I still do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. So Raquel.
Yeah.
So now you're starting to hear some of the values and some of the things that are running in the back of his mind that might stop him from making a decision. Right?
Yeah, what is stopping him from making a decision?
I can say one other thing, though. Many of the other things I decide are not just me. They're me working with someone else. But these things, but what I'm talking about today, are me working with myself and not with someone else.
Okay.
Actively. So that's a difference. That's a difference because I do like working with other people on projects and things to do.
Okay. So there's starting to be some more information about, he can make decisions. He knows how to do that. But there's something about this that makes it more significant because it's about his life. So Christian just wrote, would asking about criterias be a leading question? And I don't think so at all, because it sounds like there's a lot of values that are being triggered that may be conflicting. So this is, and when you're talking about asking about criterias, so then first we still want to know how do you make a decision? Based on what? How do you know that the decision is going to be the right decision for you, that it's ecological? So that's part of the desired state. So
my decisions kinesthetically, I decide on things. But
so we can jump back and forth. Sorry, Pascal. We can jump back and forth between desired state of making a decision on this and what he's doing right now is being confused. So what holds him into that state of confusion? So what holds that in place? So that's where we want to ask meta questions. Raquel, are you, and do you have any questions?
Yeah, I'm here confused.
Okay. What specifically are you confused about?
You are saying about asking meta question about the state, and what do you believe about being confused? Is that right?
No, I'm asking about what do you believe about this decision and these choices that create this confusion?
Okay, makes sense for me right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'll let's stick with you for a little bit longer, and then we'll go to Christian.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay.
Sorry, it's me.
No, Raquel. We'll stick with it's Raquel Raquel, yes, for okay. a little bit longer. Raquel.
Yeah, you are going to Christian right now, yeah?
No, you can, like, do you want to continue with some meta questions and getting more information about how he creates confusion?
I think that I prefer Christian to do that, and I see how he's going to do that.
Oh, okay. That sounds good. Okay, Christian, how about taking it from here?
Okay. So, you said you're in a confused state, Pascal. Mm-hmm. What do you believe about that confused state?
And this is where I'm going to stop you.
Okay.
So we want to know, how do you create your confusion?
Oh, sorry. I missed
right?
the point.
So first we want to know this trigger of like, okay, I'm thinking of these choices. And then what happens inside of me that creates the confusion?
Oh, okay.
Right?
Okay. So, Pascal, when you are in a confused state, do you know how you do that confused state?
I have more than one option, and I'm trying to decide between two. I haven't done it yet, so I feel confused about it. So maybe it's just thinking about going back and forth between one or the other. I believe confused states are valuable to start out with. Because I think that's how I learn about things, by struggling to understand in general. But in this mm-hmm. case it's just about trying to decide among two options, or at least among two possible options, about what to do next.
Okay, and when you try to decide what to do next, if I were you, how would I do that, trying to decide?
Well, I'm reading a book about memoirs. I mean, this is what I'm doing. One book I have basically outlined, and then I thought to myself, I'm telling you now how it goes. I think, okay, will people be interested in this book? Would it be worth writing? Would people be more interested in the other one? What would I learn from doing either one? Would I learn more about... I don't think of myself as an expert, but I think of myself as learning along the way. And so, mm-hmm. What Frankie said earlier, I like to integrate things. So there's a lot of factors involved. One is, what will I learn by doing this, either one of these? Which one would interest more people? Why would anyone be interested in what I say about my life? What is it about I'm saying that can speak, that others can see something from and gain something from?
Okay.
So those are things I think about.
May I stop you a second, please? Because you mentioned reading a book and then you started asking yourself a lot of questions. Mm-hmm. Did I understand right?
Yes, I'm reading. I have two books that I just received on writing. One is called Telling Life Stories, and one is about memoirs. And I have been very interested over the last year about writing creative nonfiction, which means writing stories in my fiction, in my super writing stories in my nonfiction. So my tendency is to... Okay, when I started my career, I was very analytical, mathematical, and over the years, I've become... I appreciate the other parts of being with people, telling stories, which is sort of another part of me. I still retain the first part. So I try to integrate the two in what I do. So one book would be more analytical and one book would be more personal. So.
Okay. So may I feedback you something?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It looks like after you read a book, you think a lot. And you ask yourself a lot of questions. Is there, and it looks like you're thinking about your thinking. I don't, maybe I can feed you back.
It's not after I read a book, it's while I'm reading a book, or even choosing to read a book, I'm thinking about things. And I do think about my thinking. I have a preference of trying to solve my own problems, which is why it's difficult for me to be a coaching subject. At least I think it is.
And
I
have a question. You didn't mention about what you see. It's only what you think and what you say to yourself. What do you see when you're doing that?
What do I see when I am doing, what do you mean, reading? Most of my world is visual in terms of doing mind maps and outlining in pictures. Most of what I do is some sort of picture. So that's always there. Even though my primarily a kinesthetic, I use pictures to direct what I do. So if I decide to do something, I'm already writing out a diagram about what's going to be, what the pieces are.
Yes.
I have mind maps of this first book, not of the second. So what do I see?
Yes. What specifically do you see at that moment of confusion?
What do I see at the moment of confusion? I don't think I saw anything. I think I was. Which is a good point, because I haven't visual. What I haven't done, which you reminded me, is I haven't really pictured either the other situation. I only have a picture of one side, what one side would look like. I don't have a picture of, which might help me make a better decision. I don't have a picture of the memoir. I have a picture of the descriptive book, and not the memoir. So I think doing that would help me make a better decision, make a choice between the two, or both.
I'm sorry, I did not understand. That would help you, or that would not help you?
That would help me. It would help me to create a picture of what the memoir would look like.
Okay. So can you do it?
Yeah, well, what I'd have to do is I create a mind map, which I'd have to think about what would be in it, what parts of my life would I want to describe, how would it reflect what I want to say, what do I want to say. I haven't done that. So I think doing that would be the first step for me, would be the first step to resolving my confusion, would be to say, okay, now I have a better choice. I only have a choice. I have a choice which is mostly information on one side, but I haven't really fleshed out or made visual the second side of the argument. Maybe that's what it will be useful to do, would be to, when I get back from this conference I'm going to next week, to say to myself, what if I did write a memoir? What would it look like? And start doing a mind map. And what parts of my life would I want to talk about? And how would this reflect, modeling or science or physics or things I've been doing.
Okay. So I understood you want to make a mind map, mm-hmm. and you mentioned that you wanted to be fully focused and fully engaged.
Mm-hmm.
What will you see when you will be fully focused and fully engaged?
Well, I see myself sitting at my desk. I see there's a program I use to write, Scrivener. I use that to do writing, and it fills up your screen. And it's very pleasurable to write with it. And just going back and forth between a mind map of an outline or a vague outline and the actual writing.
Okay.
And so then going through, I would be seeing myself going through my reference material or everything I have in my house, which is about my life, and sorting through those things that might be interested in and revealing memories that I had that might be useful.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to interrupt for a moment.
Yeah.
So, Christian, you went to fully focused and fully engaged, and that's obviously the ultimate outcome that Pascal wants.
Yes.
What we want to focus on is what is the desired state or the outcome of the coaching session. So that's when we start to kind of ask some checking questions like, so Pascal, if you were able to make a decision on what book to do first, would that help you be fully focused and engaged in August?
Yes.
Okay.
So yeah, that, can I make another comment?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. This is probably off. This is a comment which is on an aside. Like in Shakespeare plays, they take a stop for a second, go to the aside.
Yeah.
sorry. Christian was asking me questions about visual questions.
Uh-huh.
Which was the topic of our subject this morning.
Yeah, exactly.
So I just want to point that out. So if you didn't realize that, I want to point that out.
Yeah.
You asked me what I saw and visual and stuff like that. So you must have been hearing for visual cues. now we'll go back to my opinion. Okay, I'm sorry.
Yep. High five. Yeah, so, and this is for everyone. It's like, yeah, our client has a specific effect that they are after. And that's why we ask testing questions. Like, if you made a decision, are you able to be fully focused and engaged? If the answer is, well, no, I need something else, then that might become a next coaching topic. But from what it sounded like is that that's not the problem. So that might be a desired state, but it's not the outcome of the coaching conversation.
Right.
You need to focus on something else. So the outcome is having made a decision. And what is that going to look like, feel like, sound like when Pascal has made a decision? And what is stopping him right now from making that decision? Like one thing that, because Pascal, you keep talking about, well, it's going to be either or. I also heard you say a third option, which is where you merge the two.
I did.
Right? So you've got three different. And here's where Christian and Raquel, I would like you to go higher up the levels. Is like, so as you think about those three options, what comes to mind? What because it is you mentioned Pascal too, is like you could do them sequentially. It's not like, you know, if you make one choice or one decision that you won't be able to do the others.
Yes.
Right? So how is making a decision here specifically a problem? Or what's stopping you from making this decision?
Wait, as we were speaking, I did mention that I don't know what it would be like to write the memoir part.
Okay.
So I can make an initial decision to just focus on that for 3 weeks or 4 weeks. And see how that feels. See how that feels. And then and then I'll have to be more informed about whether I want to, and then I can decide, okay, you can merge this piece in. In other words, it's a journey to writing a book. And the journey could start out with the memoir, which I need to be attracted to. And then as I go along, it could bring in either continue with memoir or bring in merge the other piece or just switch. Because I still have something written.
Okay.
When I switch, and I can pick up the other one. So I think, as I'm talking, I think that's the way I'm going to go right now.
Okay, so you've made a decision.
I've made a decision about what to do next.
Okay.
And I also realize I don't have to make a decision about either or both now.
Mm-hmm.
I want to experience, do the, you know, the kinesthetic experience of what it, stepping into it. You know, experience it and merging, engaging fully in one choice, in one option. Without, I don't like to give up options easily.
Right.
So I like to merge, but I do realize that you need to do something.
Right.
So I do need to, I don't want to be totally reactive. I want to just jump in and do something and then see how it feels. That's one way of getting around having too many options.
Mm-hmm. And so that's what it sounds like that is what is holding you back, especially because this is significant and it's about your life, is that you don't like to give up options.
Right.
So Christian
and
okay. So Christian and Raquel, when you hear him say that, I don't like to give up options, does it start to make more sense to you that he's not making a decision?
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. then, yes. then you want to grab hold of that. And Pascal said, okay, that's a pattern. So is that something that we need to address? Because what do you believe about, like, that? And this is where you can go up the levels, is what do you believe about giving up options? Let's say that you have to give up an option. What's going to happen? Because then that's where we get to the juice, you know, to the juicy stuff. Make sense?
Makes sense to me.
Yeah, yes, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and I'm not, and I'm still, like, because here I am as a coach, I'm listening to him, and it doesn't, I don't know if it makes sense to you, Christian or Raquel, but to me it doesn't make sense that in this case of making this decision that he doesn't like to give up options.
Mm-hmm.
So if that doesn't make sense to me, then I need to ask more questions. What are your thoughts, Raquel?
Yeah, it's a little bit confused for me because he doesn't want to go through the decision about what kind of books, and he wants to go through another stuff. And I'm putting my map right now here because if he doesn't decide what for me, what kind of books he wants to write, how can he goes to the next step?
Mm-hmm. So then what is the result? If you were to turn that into a confrontation, what is the result of not giving up options?
Yeah, because if he wants to be full focused and engaged, how are you going to be full focused and engaged in two options?
Right. Sounds like then he would be giving up options, right?
Yeah.
Well, by choosing to immerse myself 1 month in one option, I am not giving up the other one, but I'm not working on the other one to see how the first one would feel.
Yeah. Well, that's like an intermediate step, of course.
That's an intermediate step, yes.
Yeah. So, Pascal, what do you believe about giving up options that creates a problem for you?
No, nothing comes to mind. I mean, I do know that in order to be able to do anything, I need procedures put in place in order to be able to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
I like the freedom to choose what. I don't have an answer.
Okay. But you know that you don't like to give up options.
Yes.
Okay.
I like to, I can see situations which I don't. I guess some might be tied to my identity too, I think.
Okay. In what way?
Well, you know, for example, in training, I haven't did certified trainings in a while, but yet I'm still a certified trainer. So I noticed that not just me, but many people have doing that. It's the identity as opposed to you think it's about thinking about whether
Are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
I'm sorry. That was my thought. It could be related to identity about maybe one option is saying that this is your identity, but yet you're doing something else, which is similar. It may be identity issue, and I'm not quite sure how though, but it struck me. That was the thought that came to mind.
Okay. So that to me that doesn't make sense yet, but that might.
I know it doesn't make sense. Yeah.
That might make sense. So, Raquel, what have you learned from this process? What have you learned?
I learned to slow down and listen more carefully to the client. And I started with checking the primary state and what the desired state is.
Mm-hmm.
And stop a little bit and think about what is the gap to go through it before going through it. Because at the beginning, I was going through again by my what I think that it's right, not about what the clients want.
Okay.
And this is the learn for me again.
Okay, very good. High five for that insight.
Yeah, thank you. High five.
And Christian, what did you learn from this process?
Well, I learned that it's complicated when people give a lot of information, and it's complicated for me to stop them, and I need to make the effort to, because there was Pascal gave a lot of content.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I to get the present, the desired state. It's important to let the flow go, but at the same thing, at the same time, try to really focus on the both steps.
Right.
And
yes.
And I need to work on that because for me it's very complicated to interrupt people.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, and that is critical. Like what you notice, like that, and I think it's really. It'll be powerful, like, you know, because we picked up a few things. I'm sure there's more to pick up on, but to listen back to the session and to notice how Pascal is, like, he's trying to do problem solving himself.
That's true.
Yeah.
Right? So while you're talking with him, it's he's already trying to solve his own problem rather than, and that makes it harder to kind of say, hey, you know, what is it specifically that we're talking, that we, what is it specifically that we need to be discussing today? But it is very critical because Pascal is still operating from within the matrix that created the quote unquote problem in the first place, which is I don't like to give up options. So he's working really hard, and what you want as a coach is you want him to move beyond that and to step outside of that so that you can get to a place where you might get to the cognitive distortions of his thinking. And that's where your meta questions really come in. And I'm still really curious. So now you've got like these three options, but you don't like to give up options. Which is going to make it hard. If I try that on, then it's going to make it really hard to pick one or the other. So what, then I need to know what matrix is holding that in place that he doesn't like to give up options. And is the alternative to give up an option, or is that thinking more incrementally? Like, okay, I'm going to do this first and then I can do this next. And putting it on a timeline rather than, I don't know yet what the structure is of I don't like to give up options, so we need more information. What I do know is that we can grab hold of that and I can ask Pascal, so it sounds like that is what's getting in the way. Is that correct? And then I can ask, so is that what we need to be talking about, the fact that you don't like to give up options? Yes. So then what do you want to get out of this? What would you like to get out of this session? So then you grab hold of what's really important and you take it to another level. At the same time, this is also about continuing to ask, are you doing it again? because Pascal, we at some point we asked Pascal, like, are you doing your present state right now? And he said yes. And then we, like, asked a few more questions, and he continued to do his present state. Well, that happens with a lot of clients. And so continuing that awareness of, like, are you doing it again? Are you doing it again? So that someone can step outside of that and really start to kind of analyze that. Oh, this is how I'm doing that. That's where you help them the most. And otherwise, you're going to be working really, really hard while your client is still operating from their present state. And then you become responsible for the outcome. And it's just going to be a lot of hard work. So being aware of, like, where's my client now, and continuing to feed that back is really critical in this process. So, Pascal, what insights did you get?
What insights? It actually is giving me more things to think about.
Well, that'll give you more options.
No, I only have the ones that we talked about. But it's more than just this decision. There's other decisions, too. So it's about giving up things, I think.
Yeah.
Being able to giving up things. Mm-hmm. Being able to give up things. And so that's probably what would be good to work on if I was to say this is to work on. It's not just choosing an option, but giving up things. Giving up this direction for now.
Yeah.
For now.
Yeah.
Maybe picking it up later, maybe not, but for now. So yeah. I think it's about that feeling. It's a state. State of feeling like I can give up. There was the Beatles song "Let It Be," or it's just let things just let it go, and then let it all go, and then see what's left.
Okay.
I think that's what it is. It's about giving up.
So it's the state of being able to give up.
Yes.
For now.
For now.
Yeah.
Yes, and maybe never coming back to it. But it's, okay, this is, because I find myself sometimes having too many things on fire.
Mm-hmm.
And giving up things is important.
Okay. Well, that sounds like that sounds like a very valuable insight, Pascal.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. As you were talking, I was thinking about that.
Yeah. Yeah. Nice. Yeah, and that's like... that's what we get to when we move beyond the content to listening for the structure. What is my client doing? And feeding that back. That's when we can start to get these kinds of insights. And then it's going to be so much easier. So now it's the state of giving up things. So then we start asking clarity questions about that, because that becomes the newly desired state. What state do you need to be in order to give up things in such a way that you're okay with it,
mm-hmm.
that you feel fully aligned with it?
Yeah.
So then we start to gather detailed information about that. And in this situation, what would that, how, you know, describe what that would be like? And then we can ask, what is it that you need to do to get there? So, you know, and for that, we need more information. But that's how you, like, kind of, like, peel back the layers and grab hold of that juicy thing. And then we can also ask, so that's in this situation, where else would you like to be able to give up things? So those are just a few things to consider. Any questions before we wrap up?
No, not for me.
Not for me. I learned a lot. Thank you.
Okay, very good. Pascal?
Me neither. I learned a lot too.
Okay, perfect. Okay, well, I'll be putting the recording online later today, so you can listen back to it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have any questions in the meantime, please just share. We'll be meeting again same time 2 weeks from now.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Bye.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.